I think let me bring slightly different perspective of the work that that probably will be easier to understand from demographic dividend perspective, because it still is an economic argument, and we need to put that argument to people, because sometimes we talk to ourselves and say that, you know, this is important without translating that information to other people. So let me give you some example. We were recently in Oslo, in Norway, and the health the government official there, they told us that they did some study of the biggest economic economic success of their country, economic contributor to their economic life of Norway. And they found that the women employment is the biggest contributor to their economic productivity. And then I was recently in Mali and some other countries, and I saw many examples that young girls, some 15 or 16, particularly in Mali, I remember this, a 15-year-old girl was standing in a long queue, and we asked her, why you are standing here? Because we thought she's very young. And she told us that she's married, she's in high school, she wanted to complete her education, her husband doesn't want it, so she wanted to have a long-term family planning method. And we were thinking that what family planning can do to empower women. Here is the country where the biggest contributor is women employment. Here is the country where young people is trying to be empowered by having a family planning product so that they can, and the justification she was saying that I want to complete my high school, I want to be employed, and then only I want to be pregnant and take care of my child. Is this not the demographic dividend that we are talking about it? And if we cannot empower young people, if they can't plan their pregnancy, if they can't complete their education, then this employment contribution to women empowerment and women employment to economy will not be successful. And still, I mean, so I understood that in Mali, and we were meeting with the finance minister. And they heard us, you know, young people, adolescents, we need to empower. But, you know, we didn't have a financial data or the information to talk to this finance and economic minister. So we did some research, and there are lots of good work that World Bank and others and many research that, and I'm happy, John, you are here, probably you can verify some of the numbers that probably I will speak it out now. They said something like maternal and adolescence and maternal death will cost something like 15 billion productivity costs in the world. Some very old report mentioned that. They also said that the lifelong opportunity cost of adolescence health investment will be 1% GDP to 30% GDP. It can, if it is China, it can be, you know, $100 billion. In Uganda, probably, you know, 30% will be still $30 billion or something. It's such a huge investment cost that we are talking about it. And still we are talking demographic dividend as if, you know, it will be achieved by just economic growth, not inclusive growth, not bringing everybody together, not giving the potential of young people, women, marginalized population, and everyone. And if that is not inclusive, I think demographic dividend will be difficult. I remember recently, I mean about two years ago, there was a big debate was going on in India, and I was talking to you recently, and I told that story because it was so fascinating. India was debating on economic development, and there were two economists, Amartya Sen and Jagdish Bhagwati from Columbia University. And they were debating of inclusive development or economic development, which is the growth-oriented. And the debate is so important to understand that how do we see that the development is the right-based, human right-based development. The development is inclusive development, Development is that provides the social protection to everyone. Development that provides potential to everyone so that nobody is left behind. Development that provides young men and young boys to see that they have a potential and they can grow it, they can contribute to it. So UNFPA, from UNFPA perspective, we do that kind of data disaggregated analysis in every country. And the reason that we are talking here today, we see that about 60 or so many countries are ready for demographic dividend. And if we don't talk empowerment, young people, and that kind of inclusive development, then we will miss this generation that we are working on it. So if you take family planning, there are many areas, right? So let's start with the family planning. I think right now with the EPI 2020, USAID, us, and all other partners who are here, PRB and all other people, Maristope International, PSI, Carl, welcome. What we are looking at it is how do we see in country, not the national level of what we call contraceptive prevalence, right? I mean, uptake of utilization of contraceptives, right? We are looking at it, how do we disaggregate data to see that where this has to be looked at it in geographically, mm-hmm. economically, age disaggregated, and so that, you know, it goes to the whole country rather than only in urban area, only to educated people, and only to the wealthy people. So that kind of disaggregated analysis for country is the number one thing that you need to do it. I'm just talking family planning, but we do gender-based violence and ending the early child marriage and all that. But that kind of disaggregated policy discussion and bringing that discussion to the economic and finance ministry, saying that where you are losing your economic growth if you don't do these things. Mm-hmm. You know, your trajectory of growth will miss out these things. You know, you may have mines and you are exporting it. You know, right now there are 74% of African population is below 24 years of age, right? Yeah. There are 1 billion population in Africa, and that's the number. And you know, still, every day, 20,000 girls below the age of 18 give birth. And that comes about 7.3 million or something annual birth from the girl who are below 18 years. Will that take us to demographic dividend? Will that be empowerment that Norway was talking about it? What need to be done to empower those people to make contraceptive accessible, available, of the quality product in that country? That's the work that all partners together, we are working at it. I'm just giving you an example, but we can go to other areas as well on sexual reproductive health. For example, sustainable development goal that has universal access to reproductive health is the big, big success for all of us because, you know, and it includes family planning. This is the first time, you know, the family planning came such a strong way, and sexual reproductive health also. I think that kind of analytical work for sexual reproductive health and rights issue and family planning, I think that will give us a bright message and programming input for the country level. I think the partnership is the key. I think, and if you are talking particularly from the perspective of demographic dividend, because it touches everyone, every aspect of your life, from the right perspective to the empowerment, to the education, to the economics and, you know, the productivity and all that. So that's the challenge that we get it when we try to go to country and say that we will analyze your current activities to see that when and how you can achieve demographic dividend. You need to bring everybody together at the country level, from the finance to economics to planning and all that. And I remember Indonesian finance minister once in our one, you know, family planning conference, he spoke so well. He said that we planned 40 years ago. We brought every sector of the society to plan for demographic dividend planning process. And that is giving us so much help because people understand it, why the right is being said it, how that will impact. Why education is said it, how that will impact. why girl has to go to school, how, because there are cultural issues and the economic issues. You have to bring sometime different perspectives. That's why I was saying sometime we talk to, I see most of the people I always meet in every conferences. Exactly. So how do we talk to other people? And then particularly I said, because right now the whole issue of financing is the most critical, because the financing is the in most areas where we work is the ODA is declining because of various priorities coming up. And the issue that we are discussing has to go beyond our comfort zone to other areas, and we need to put it. But again, some of the good example of AP 2020, some of the good example of RS Supplies Coalition is so good that everybody feels that they are part of the discussion under that umbrella, and we can contribute it. I'm not talking family planning only for family planning perspective. I'm saying that family planning because what it can do to young people and adolescents. We have to give that language and bring all partners together from economic perspective to the right perspective and join them together so that they understand why we are saying rights, just not because we are activists or something, just because it makes sense. Because if you are not inclusive, you will not get your desired result of your what you are trying to do it. I think in that sense, the partnership is the most key.